Welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast, bringing together some of the best college soccer-related people to your earbuds, from coaches to players and beyond. So, thank you for tuning in. The Inside College Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Sports Recruiting USA, the college soccer experts. Now, enjoy the show.
All right, everybody. Hey, Jose, how are you?
Good, man. Super, super excited to be here today. It's a cold day in Georgia today. It's super chilly today, but it's sunny, which is nice.
Right on. Well, we'll have some fun today. I've tried to bring on different guests on our podcast from different areas of things that are either in college soccer or lead to college soccer. One of the things I hadn't done is brought on a lot of former players, believe it or not, and I've started to do that. But I've had coaches on, and I haven't had anybody from high school.
Cool. Yeah.
And I coached high school for 9 years, Jose, and I loved every minute of it. I really enjoyed it. I was lucky enough to coach at the high school that I played for.
Where was that at?
Arroyo High School in San Lorenzo.
Okay.
And I'll tell you the one thing that I noticed. I mean, people talk club all the time. Don't waste your time with high school. Yeah. It's such a waste of time. I always hear the coaching is terrible. But most importantly, it's not going to help you get recruited for college. You got to play ECNL. You got to play GA. You got to play MLS Next. You got to play whatever platform. Just don't waste your time with high school. It's such a waste of time. And my experience is, as a player and as a coach, and every player I've ever talked to, is exactly the opposite of a waste of time. Mm. Exactly the opposite. I think high school is the coolest experience that a kid can ever have. And considering that,
I agree.
What is it? Less than a half of a percent of even pro academy kids in England, in pro youth academies. Less than 0.5% will play pro. The odds of an American making a living playing professional soccer are even smaller. And so what are we doing if we aren't raising our kids, Jose, to have a good experience, good memories? I'm 60, going to be 63 years old, and I still think about, I still keep in touch with some of my high school friends on Facebook. My center back is still, I consider one of my best friends in life. And I call him, and I can't say that same for college at all. So I wanted to bring on a high school coach, man. So tell us about life in Gwinnett, Georgia.
Yeah, man, you brought up so many good points. I've been asked a lot of times why I coach high school soccer, and I think you nailed a lot of those points. I follow you on social media, and you have a pretty consistent post where you are always talking about, kids, it's not just D1 or bus. It's about finding the right place for you. And I think coaching is the same way. I've had the opportunities to go coach at different levels, but high school for me has just been the best fit. It's been where I've been kind of just had the best platform to do what I do. But here in Georgia, this is my fifth year at this high school, Middle Creek High School. It is a unique high school, and I use that word strongly. We are about right around the 25 to 3,000 student mark, depending on the year and the students coming in. So we're a large school. We have roughly around 80% now of a Latino population. So, there's a strong connection with soccer here, football. So it's a dominant sport here. And we moved to Gwinnett for a simple reason, which was really for me to land a job in the teaching world. And I'm an educator that was more aligned with what I could connect with. I was born and raised in Long Beach, California. So I grew up in that Hispanic culture and that soccer culture over there. And being able to find that here has been just amazing. But this is year five for us here at Meadow Creek High School. Man, I'm super blessed. I have seven assistant coaches who support me. I have an athletic director who is all about making sure that soccer continues to grow in the right way at our school. I have a community that is slowly really beginning to buy into what we're doing. We're starting to take some big strides in partnerships. Like we did the club consultancy with SR USA this year. Working with Danny and Mason has been phenomenal, getting our kids connected to the next level. But it's been a really, really big step to kind of take this project on. And just the vision that I have for high school soccer is, I think, really different than a lot of coaches have at this level. So connecting with universities and getting them to buy into what we're doing has been a challenge, but it's been a really fun kind of pathway to go down for, hopefully in the future, it kind of sticks with other programs as well.
So you, Long Beach, man. So you're a long way from home.
Yeah, man, we moved to the South back when I was about 14 years old. We left Long Beach and we moved to South Carolina, a real rural place, where it was the first time where I noticed, coming from Long Beach, soccer is a cultural thing, right? There was I didn't play club soccer till I moved to the South. So all 14 years of my life, I never touched a ball from a club perspective. I just played middle school, and I believe I was still there for the first couple weeks of high school. We moved to the South. It was, are you playing club? Are you playing club? I don't know what that is, so let's plug you in. So I was lucky enough. I played for CASA, then I played for a local club team there. But yeah, huge shift culturally, everything. It was a massive shift from the West Coast to the South.
Well, California is a funny place. I try to tell people that don't understand. I guess it's so many things to do, and the weather's so amazing year round. And you can, I mean, I've been on the beach in Newport in January, and been swimming. It can be like that, and that's not happening in Georgia or
Yeah,
where I
that's
live
true.
now in Northern California. But Southern California is such a unique place. That
Yeah.
I think it's hard. It's hard to dial in on one thing. I mean, the kids that are into the club scene, certainly the surf kids or the whatever club kids, LAFC or whatever, now these days are, I mean, they're into it and they're into it year round. That's fine. But there's also kids into volleyball year round, and there's kids into, playing Pop Warner football or baseball year round or
Sure.
whatever.
Yep.
So it's hard. And I think it shows in the fan bases too sometimes of the different pro sports.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that.
It's really hard, unless the Dodgers are winning the World Series, then
Yeah.
a lot of times you can just buy a ticket that day and walk into the stadium, and that's not as easy to do with Atlanta Braves. It's
Correct. Yeah.
people are more into their sports. So when you got there, you like you said, you were pretty young. Did you play high school there?
No, I didn't play high school here. So I played high school in South Carolina. It was a small little school, West Oak High School.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe total amount of students, 800, 900 kids. I played there. I ended up going on a no scholarship, but I ended up going to Francis Xavier University. So I was there for just one short season playing and studying. Left college. Then I attended North Greenville University. I wasn't playing anymore, though. I think that by that time I was getting over my either second or third ACL injury. So it was a pretty rough little patch there. But yeah, we moved to Georgia with my wife. We're married, have three kids. We moved to Georgia for her. She wanted to get her PhD at UGA. So we did that. And that's really when I started to get pretty heavy into the high school scene. I was already involved with club. I was coaching Athens United. I was helping out at Emmanuel College as an assistant there. So I was just like, you know what, let's do this. Let's commit to high school, see what we can do with it. I came in with that same perspective like we were talking about, which was, this is just going to be a fun little thing, kind of waste of time. There's nothing we can do with this, but it kind of just sparked like this, big idea and big desire to really think, can we reshape the high school landscape to a certain point? I know it's going to be difficult to do, but to a point where it is viewed as no longer the redheaded stepsister of soccer, but hey, this is a comparable level in specific locations and places.
And it's so funny too when people look down at, so they think, okay, let's take the coaching is terrible. Well, yeah, but I can point to dozens of ECNL teams where the coaching is terrible.
Yes.
I can coach the, I can point to college teams, Jose, where the coaching is awful.
Yes.
And the coaches aren't good. They don't treat the kids right. They don't know what they're doing. So that excuse of the coaching is terrible is a BS excuse. It's goes individual by individual. There are some high schools where a really good coach in town wants to coach that team, and they say no, it's going to go to a teacher because the teacher wants to coach and the teacher
Right.
doesn't know what they're doing. I do get that, but let's face it, you don't get paid that much to coach high school.
Right.
I don't, and I don't know very many head coaches that are going to turn down and a good assistant. They're not that easy to find. You
Right.
know, so if you're not the head coach, put your ego aside. Go be the assistant and go help that coach get better
Yeah, yeah.
is always the way I look at it. So I mean, the individual sitting there complaining and then hoping that the head coach fails because they don't know anything about soccer isn't
Man,
helping soccer grow in the United States.
100%. Yeah, I
And
agree.
isn't help and isn't thinking about the kids for sure.
I so when I was this was probably 2019, right before the pandemic hit, I got accepted into the United Soccer Coaches 30 Under 30 program. So I did that for a solid year, and I was on track. I'm gonna go coach in college, right? I just completed my licensing through USSF, all the things I needed. I had the criteria. I spent a beautiful 6, 7 months being mentored by Nancy Feldman over at Boston University. She retired a couple years back, and it was like, this is it. This is the way I'm going to go. So after the program 30 under 30, I had a couple offers to go coach at the collegiate level, and as I looked at them, it was like this constant thought in my head: where are you going to get more investment in the sense of, what it is that I love to do? And high school kind of kept coming back to my head. So that's where, we were in Athens. I typed it up on my computer. This is a straight up fact. I typed in school with most Hispanic kids in the state of Georgia, and Middle Creek High School pops up. So I told my wife, that's where I want to go teach. And I didn't want to coach first. I was like, I just want to go teach, get to know the culture, what the school is like, what are the admin like, what are the needs. But as I got here, people started asking me questions. It was just, I couldn't hide it for so long that, I was coaching and I knew how to coach.
Right.
So they were like, dude, you got to be the head coach. So we took over. But, the vision for our high school program here, it's really unique. If you kind of let me, if I can explain it in as much detail as I can. The idea comes from a question that kind of popped into my head when I was looking at the European model, right? For so long, I think USA has been trying to chase what Europe has been doing. And I think there's a lot of good that comes from Europe in the sense of how they have their model for youth soccer. But their youth soccer is specifically designed around just the way life is in Europe, right? Everything's so in close proximity. They're not big countries. There's so much connection between soccer and the communities. Where if you look here in the States, we're so big. I mean, it is just massive. So my original question was, what's the one thing that we have in the United States of America that is absolutely structured from top to bottom in the school systems? Whether we like them or not, the educational system, you can go to California, you can go to New York, Michigan, the middle of nowhere, Idaho, Minnesota. You're going to have a K through 12 system that is organized, funded to at least a full extent from the local government and the federal government. And they are able to provide sports at an extremely low cost to students without them having to, throw so much money into playing a sport. So the vision came from that in the sense of, if we could somehow really convince, USSF and even all these club systems to look at the high school, not just high school, but the school itself as a platform to find and identify better talent, it would be just massive, right? So if you're looking at it from, this is what I wrote down, from K to fifth grade, don't teach any of these kids how to play the game. Just supervise them how and when they're playing, right? And I take that back to my roots in Long Beach. No one taught me how to play from the time I started kicking a ball in 4 or 5 till about I was 12, 13. No one taught me. It was just me, a couple friends in alleys. We'd go take some buggies from the local grocery stores, throw them on the road, and we play for hours. So from K to fifth grade, What we should do is invest in teachers in the classroom, right? USSF can invest in these teachers to just be eyes. That's it. You're just eyes. Show them how to problem solve when they get mad with each other. Help them pick up, help them set up, help them be more than just a player on the field, but an active participant and member. Once the kids matriculate to middle school, right, for 3 years, the volunteer teachers can start communicating with those middle school teachers saying, "Hey, listen, there's some really good players coming up. Here's their names. Here's their names. Here's their attributes or characteristics. Here's how they're doing in school." Then in middle school, we can kind of start touching a little bit more of the game itself. Maybe we can start setting up some more organized situations, touch a little bit of the tactical world. If you even want to get into that, I wouldn't. And then by the time they get to high school, those kids are now identified, but we should have healthy relationships with local clubs, local universities, and saying, "Hey, listen, he's got a 14-year-old kid, amazing player. No, he doesn't play ACNO. No, he doesn't play MLS Next. No, he's not a top drawer, recruit in the nation, but he's got amazing raw talent, and he should really get an opportunity to play, with this club and figure out ways that we can support each other." So what we want to do here is essentially that, we're at a point right now where we're really stabilizing the high school. This would be the first year where none of our high school players will have to pay to play. It is completely free. And that includes too the recruiting package that comes with SR USA. So every kid that walks through here gets the club consultancy package. They get their training gear. They get to be trained by seven coaches who are nationally C licensed. One of our coaches had experience coaching with Atlanta United. We have a plethora of platforms within the school from our administration where we can talk, we can literally have full control of our students within the building. It's not a perfect system, but I can pull them whenever I need to and talk to them. I can discuss academics, I can discuss recruiting, I can set up meetings with them. The next goal would be to implement that in a similar way to the middle school and work with the elementary schools. So if we identify a first grader who's got an amazing talent, amazing skill, but their parents can't afford ECNL, MLS Next, pre-academy, whatever it
Right.
is, we can work with them and say, "Listen, just play the game. It's okay. I know everyone tells you that if they're not playing pre-ECNL by the age of 12, 13, their chances of going to college just plummet. If you're not playing MLS Next, if you play MLS, don't play high school. It's a waste of time." But in reality, it's like, how can we just maximize what we have here in the States in comparison to trying to chase what other countries have?
Yeah, so much there, man. And
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
I think it's really cool. No, it's really good. You make a lot of good points. Look, one of the things that I really liked about high school is that a ninth grader, if they were a stud, they could play with jump in and play with 12th graders.
Yeah, for
That
sure.
that's never going to happen in club. They're not going to move a kid up four age groups in club. You're lucky if a club will let a kid up move up one age group. In fact, if it's a kid's a stud, that coach is gonna fight not to let that kid move up
Right, because
because
I
they
want
want
to
that
win.
kid on their team because winning is what's most important to them. So it's just wild to me how opposite it is to what high school can allow to do. By the same token, if a kid's a junior and look, he's obviously just having fun. He's a good teammate, he's a good kid, but he can hardly walk and chew gum at the same time. He's just uncoordinated. He can still play JV till his senior year. And you can allow that kid just to have a fun high school experience, use JV, and not have to move that kid up if the kid doesn't want to move up and he's not ready, if he's just going to sit the bench. So it allows for both sides where club doesn't allow that. There, so that I found that's just such a big advantage to high school. And then let's face it, playing in with and in front of your friends that you went to kindergarten with and first grade with and second grade with and being involved with those kids doesn't it happen in any other platform that we have in the United States. So I think both of those things make it for a quite unique experience.
Yeah, it to me what's really mind-blowing, Don, is the fact that soccer is one of those sports in the United States that is treated completely different than any other sport in this country, right? You look at football from youth football all the way to high school football, it's important. Why is it important? Because the NFL sees it as important, right? Colleges see it as important. So this is why, if you look at how youth football is set up in America, it is set up from elementary level, Pop Warner connects to the middle school, connects to the high school. There's a seamless path, right? Baseball, I live in the Parkview cluster right around the corner from Meadow Creek High School. And baseball is the same way. Baseball, if you are going to be a baseball player at Parkview High School, you're playing for the local Parkview rec system. You're playing at the middle school level, you're playing at the high school level, and then you're winning state and national championships. And then those kids are going straight to college. So there's a level of respect from the universities when they look at these systems. And they're like, hey, no, we respect high school baseball because it's good. We respect high school football because it's good. Basketball is the same way. But something happened, right, between the disconnect between universities and the high school level, where high school, I've been in contact with a couple of colleges as we're trying to send our kids to universities. And when I reach out to them as a high school coach, they're like, well, we really don't see how they could compete at this level if they're just playing high school. I'm like, oh no, listen, I'm reaching out on behalf of my player who is an ECNL player and who is an MLS Next player, but they're not being supported in the recruiting system. So I'm reaching out on their behalf. Don't worry about the high school level. They've got clips from that level. Once I pitch that in, they're like, oh, of course, yeah, we'd love to talk to that kid. Send us more information. Send us all that. So it is that distrust, right? Like they don't see the value in high school soccer, which is one of those things that we really want to work towards, which is start close to where we are and get the trust of our local universities, Georgia State, GGC, Mercer, Piedmont, UNG, LaGrange, Emory, and say, hey, listen, come to Meadow Creek High School. We've got some amazing players. Some of them do not play club, but they're better than club players. So let's not allow money to be the reason that we're not going to give this kid a chance who has good grades, has great character to play at the next level with you guys.
Dude, it just takes so much work to get for you guys as a staff to get this to happen. But I can guarantee once it starts rolling, if they get a kid from you guys and you build a relationship with the coach and they really like that kid, and most importantly, no matter what level a kid's playing at, the question college coaches need to know is this player going to impact my program? And if the player impacts their program, they will build a relationship with the people who introduced them to that kid. And when you go back to them the next year and you go, now I've got one, I know that kid was with MLS Next, but I've got one that's better than him. Come take a look. And if that kid impacts their program, you've hooked that coach for sure. And the interesting part is coaches talk. So if you impact that coach's program, they've got an all-conference player. Other coaches are voting for that kid for all-conference. And the word gets out that that kid never played club. That kid came from Meadow Creek High School. Guess who else is going to start going, oh, I wonder if I should build a relationship with. But it takes time. It's not going to
It
happen in
does.
1 year. It's not because it's building trust. I have a saying, you've probably seen me post, coaches play players that they trust on and off the pitch. Well, coaches trust other coaches that have given them good players in the past, not led them down the wrong way, and are consistent in the type of evaluations that they give to players and the type of recommendations that they make. So, what screws a club coach or a high school coach is when they're recommending players because, their biggest donor in the club, the club's president, his daughter's playing for them. And they've said, I need you to make some phone calls to these coaches. And they should not be recommending that player to those schools. They shouldn't. They need to stand up and say, I can't put my reputation on the line to that coach for your child. However, these schools would fit. But, I'm not calling Kidani at Georgia for your daughter because she can't play soccer there. She's not going to help the team. And so you have this almost extortion going on by certain people in the clubs, like you better call or else, and then they ruin their reputation with those college coaches. And look, college coaches, it's hard to get their trust, but if you're consistent, once you have it, they will continue to at least evaluate the player. They will at least give you answers Yeah, I like them, but
Yeah.
doesn't really fit our style of play this year. Not really what we're looking for. They'll at least give an evaluation, but you've got to earn their trust first, which takes time, is my point. So I
It
think
does.
you're
It
going
does.
about it the right way, Jose.
Yeah, it takes time. It really takes time, you know. And we were able to take one of our players. His name's Alex, probably a 6'3" goalkeeper. Amazing story, my personal story. This kid's got a 4.2 GPA. Never played a club up until the very last bit of his junior year, and now plays MLS Next and UPSL Premier. So as we've been emailing, you know, there's been a lot about 90% of them have been, no, we're not interested. He doesn't play. He didn't play at this level for an extended amount of time. We finally had a local university who just was like, you know what, bring him in. They saw him. They loved him, athletic. The coach was just impressed that he was just 17, 18 years old. He wants to take him in. It's an NAIA school. It's a good fit for him. Alex is very excited to go there. It's not a D1 school. It's not a D2 school. It's not a D3 school. It's NAIA. He's excited. He loves the facilities. He wants to go there, wants to shine. And like you were just saying, the reason that happened was because of a mutual relationship that we had with the university. So that itself is one of the things that we're striving to really establish is, can we grow true, meaningful relationships with these college coaches outside of the game as well? I don't want you to just hear from me when I'm in need last minute. You know, hey, I need you to. Hey, coach, it's August. Hey, coach, best of luck this season. I'm excited to go watch a couple games. And that's kind of the next step that we want to do as a high school staff is during the fall, when it is college season and we're off season, we want to send some of our coaches out to watch these local universities play. Email them, let them know we're here to support. We can't wait to watch you play. Hey, coach, you know, tough loss, great win. And as you build those relationships, like you were just saying, right? It's the same connection that we get with our students, right? With our players. I have this really big phrase that I tell my staff members, you have got to deposit from August to December. It's all about depositing the kids' life. How much can we deposit? Get to know them. What's their favorite candy? Why are they upset on a rainy day on a Tuesday? Why are they happy and bouncing around on a Friday on a sunny day? Because when it gets to the season, as coaches, we do have to withdraw. We're going to demand so much out of you, not just from the game, but also from school and your life and your personal life with your family. So if we're not depositing, what are you withdrawing? Right? And it's the same thing with these colleges. If I'm going to withdraw from them, right? If I'm going to request something from them, hey, please take a look at this kid, but you don't know me. You've never talked to me before. I don't know.
Right.
Personal level, you know, they may look at the email and say, hey, yeah, sure, send me something because you're just nice and courteous, but they're not going to look at it. But that was one of the perfect examples that we saw, right? And working with Mason and Danny, that's kind of been like a real theme of it. It's like it's a learning relationship with these kids. You start young with them, show them the ropes of what it looks like to get recruited. So, but we're excited. And like you said, we know it's going to be a long road. We know it's going to take time for them to look at our high school and say, hey, that's a high school we can trust with their players. But you know, our goal one day is to be like a SEMO, right? Our goal one day is to be like a lot of those prep schools, private schools in New Jersey who are just
Right.
phenomenal programs. So yeah, that's kind of where we're heading. It's gonna take time, like you said, but we're excited for it, man.
No, that's it's amazing. I love it. And it's I really was excited to have you on to talk about this because I think that this could be a model for what other high schools could do around the country if they've got motivated people like you, coaches that are interested in making high school great again. It's look that there was a time when high school was recruited, and there are tournaments still that around the country that high school coaches do attend. Out west, there's one up north. There used to be one in Southern California. I don't think they have it anymore, called Excalibur, that quite a few college coaches would come to. And it's just slowly gotten away from that. And people wonder why. It's not the college coach's fault, really. It's
Yeah,
they're trying to
not.
get most bang for their buck. That's all. They're trying to take their what most of them have are limited budgets. You know, we're not talking about the girls, the women's coaches in the SEC or the Big Ten. They've got large budgets, but you know, most 90% of the coaches around this country have small budgets. Heck, I had a college team when we were recruiting on $1,500 per year. That was our recruiting budget. So what are you going to do? I'm going to go to Vegas. I'm going to go to a big tournament in Vegas where I know that I've consistently gotten players out of, and I'm going to pull one or two players out of that tournament. I can't afford to spend my money, you know, driving down to Sacramento to go see a high school game, and then driving to Reno to go see a high school game. And I don't have that kind of money. And it's, you know, there are colleges in this country that are also semi-remote, so there's not a whole lot around them. And like for me at my college, I was 2 hours away from any, you know, I'm 3 hours away from Sacramento, and I was 2 hours away from Reno. So it doesn't make sense to spend your recruiting money at anything else but a big event where there's going to be a lot of kids. So it's not like they don't want to recruit high school. It's they need a reason to recruit out of high school. And you've got to give them quality players that know the system. And as you said, you made a really good point. And this is for club coaches, high school coaches, parents, players. If you don't go watch college games when you can and go see what they look like and start building relationships with that staff, it's going to be really hard for them to take your word for it, because they don't know you.
And that's really what, just to reference what you were talking about, I coached in college for a short bit. I also spent a little bit of time with the El Salvador Youth National Team. So I know what busy is, right? Like your time is spent so much on the recruiting ground, so much time trying to find the players that fit the specific culture of your school, if that's what you're looking for. So
Right.
for me to, for me to email, let's say the coach over at, a coach in Chris Rich over at UNCG, right? Hey, Chris, I've got a guy you should really come see. He's in middle of a season. He's probably prepping some stuff for the summer. He's probably prepping some stuff for recruitment once they finish up. So one of the things that we want to do with our school is how many barriers can we remove so that it is easier for the college coach to just turn to the side and look at us and say, okay, hey, there's no barriers. I can see these kids pretty clearly, right? So we know
Right.
time is a big one. We know location, like you were just saying, that's a huge one, right? We got a couple of our kids who are being recruited by school in West Virginia. It's the middle of nowhere. This school is like probably tucked away in the middle of the woods. So, but we have the ability now, the financial means, what kind of connects to the one of the questions you had about money and sponsorships. We want our program to be a program where a kid can come and they have to just worry about three things when they're here. Number one is their grades. Number two is their attendance. And number three is their personal loan. That's it. You shouldn't have to worry about how are you going to pay to play? How are you going to get to school? What are you going to eat? What are you going to do? And if you are talking about going to college, I don't want you to have to worry about, hey, coach, this school in North Carolina is interested in me, but it's a $300 ID camp that I was invited to and I don't have transportation. We'll cover that for you. We're going to remove those barriers. If they want to see you and you want to see them and you have communication, what can we do to get you to that point? And that's what's really been helping us a lot with this, right? So with the kids from West Virginia, for example, they are very interested in going to the school. Their parents cannot afford to drive them there or to pay for plane tickets. They can maybe cover the ID camp. And then anything that comes along with transportation when it comes to food and all that. So what are we going to provide as our organization through our booster club in the community? We're going to cover all those expenses, right? Because we want these kids to really feel like college, playing college soccer is a legit opportunity. And what I'm seeing is a lot of the barriers that these high school kids have is this. They commit to ECNL, they commit to ECRL, they commit to MLS Next 2 or MLS Next, yet they're not being recruited. So they're dumping thousands of dollars into club systems and they're not being recruited. Because I think we're moving past the time of just a name tag. The name tag carries weight,
Well,
right? Tw
yes.
20 years ago, when I played soccer, I don't even know what level I played. I got recruited for playing at CASA, and then I was in this university level. This is a long time ago. Now, if you play ECNL, so what? So do 5,000 thousand, 10,000 other kids.
Well, Jose, let's be honest. It's been watered down. I mean, I think
Yeah, it
ECNL,
has
the
been.
concept of ECNL, what the girls started with, I want to say, like, somebody out there is going to correct me. I know it's not the right number, but it was like the 32 elite clubs in the country. And that was it. So ECNL meant something. And then when you add 50, and then when you add 100, and then when you add 200, and then you add ECRL, so you got another 200, and then MLS Next has MLS 2 now, and you know, it's gotten so watered down
Yeah.
that it's yeah, no, you bring in you eventually you have to start bringing in players that aren't very good because you've got teams to fill, you've got roster spots to fill. And at
Yeah.
that point, then it just makes the college coach's job that much harder. There's too much to go through. I mean,
Yes.
we've got MLS Next Fest coming up, and you know, coaches are getting emails from 1,000 kids,
Yeah.
and they're
And
just
that's,
mass emailing everybody,
and those
the
are
kids.
barriers, right? Like, you know, so this one thing that, you know, what we're seeing is this. I can recommend any one of our kids to any of our coaches, right? They play ECNL or MLS Next. Hey, coach, look at this kid. He's ECNL, MLS Next. But I'm positive he has received at least 10 other emails just like that within the last 24 hours. There's no doubt in my mind, right? So let's remove the first barrier, which is a relationship piece. Hey, I know Coach Rodriguez personally. I know Coach so and so personally.
Right.
I'm going to read that email. Next one is, hey, Coach, listen, Coach, I know I'm a college coach, but we have a budget. There's no way I can make it out to a high school game. I can't make it out to your school. Let me remove that barrier. Can we set up a date and time where I can bring one of my players to come train with you guys? We'll cover all the costs and travel to get you there, right? Okay, boom, we do that.
And by the
Now
way,
I
a
think it.
D2, that's legal. They can get a tryout day at D2.
Yeah, yeah.
They can do it at the junior college level. They can do it at NAIA level. Can't do it at D3 or D1, but you can do it at certain levels. So
Yeah,
you that's
and
possible.
that's the thing with yeah, and that's the thing with a lot of kids and coaches don't understand. Like, if you know which schools you're talking to, you have some really specific ways that you can really present your kids to them, not just on the recruiting, you know, MLS Next Fest and all this stuff, but you have to be willing to remove those barriers for that accessibility to happen, right? Just to give you a quick example, we had four kids, four very talented kids. I think they're probably top D2 caliber level. So what we talked about is like, let's get you to a good JUCO school, get you there for a year or 2 years, develop as athletes and as students, and then we can prepare you over to a different school if that is where you want to go. So we contacted a school in Alabama, Wallace State, with Coach James. He saw that we were using SRUSA. He goes, hey, I've used that before when I was an assistant in Alabama. So he contacted me. Here's what I need. I said, Coach, I got four players for you. Can you come here? I can't make it to Georgia. You know what? We'll make it to you. Took the kids there. They had a 4 day trial, a 1 day trial with four players. Immediately at the end of it, four full ride offers to play JUCO, right? So that would have never happened if I just depended on, hey, coach, come recruit these guys, come take them, right? Or if we didn't have the means and we are, you know, forward thinking of let's use the high school platform as a way to get these kids to college. Because if, you know, most of the recruits, actually 100% of the kids we're going to be sending to college this year is not happening. This is no shame towards the club systems that are here local to us. None of these recruits are being recruited because of their club systems. They're being recruited because of our high school. They're being recruited because the local community is pouring in and said, hey, we want to help you connect with SRUSA so that you can find a platform to get these kids to college. So it's been fun, man. It's been a lot of fun. We know we still have so much work to do, so many more relationships to build. You know, but we have a good glimpse of what the future could look like for Meadow Creek High School and just high school soccer in general.
Let's talk. You're talking money. I mean, you're talking about a lot of money to and there are high schools in this country that don't have, that aren't very well funded. A lot of inner cities that aren't well funded, but a lot of heck, here in California, we've got high schools that aren't very well funded in in good suburban neighborhoods, and they're just not very well funded. So how do you get around that? How do you fundraise? How have you gotten money? What have you been doing?
That's a good question. It's a loaded question, so be ready for a long answer. My approach to funding and the reason we want to do what we do with finances here in the school stems from my roots. Right, it always goes back to my roots, how I grew up watching the game, playing the game, how I grew up being funded to play the game, how I grew up in college playing the game, and then where I am now. When I was in high school, man, I depended on other people to support me to play soccer. I had this amazing family, the Ramies. Man, they pretty much bought me my cleats. They paid for my food. They were a support system for me so that I can achieve my dreams in the game. So when I came here, the connection that I had with these kids who are of Latino descent, and myself, I am Latino as well. I knew that there was going to be financial barriers that were going to be the reason as to why these kids don't hope and dream beyond 4 years of soccer, right? Or even just 4 years of education. So our first goal was, what can we do to fundraise as much money as possible and make sure that every cent goes back to the kid? And you have to first understand the booster club mentality in the South, I'm sure all over the country, is not just for the sake of the kids, right? You got coaches paying themselves $50,000, $60,000 out of a booster club system from money that's being brought in. And listen, if that's what they want to do, if that is how they want to function, they have the freedom and liberty to do that. But for us, it's how can we stabilize our program first? And we know the finance is the big one. And after we stabilize that, how can we then now use the money that we have to fund everything that we need to do for our program? Not necessarily want to do, because there's a lot of times we do have to say no, but the needs, those are the ones we're always going to push to say yes. So one of the first things we did is we decided to partner with a local youth system that needed space to host their practices. So there is a youth program here that started out as Limeños and is expanded all the way to LSA Norcross. They're part of the LSA system located in the Gainesville area. And now our kids here at this campus, you don't have to drive 25, 30 minutes to go to practice anymore. If you want to play MLS Next at a great rate, you can play and practice right here at the high school. You want to play NAL at a great rate, you can practice and play here at the high school. So the idea was, can we find a source where the kids can practice within their community with their friends, but also make it affordable for them? But then at the same time, how can a high school soccer program and the high school itself benefit from them financially? So they do pay monthly, and that money goes straight into our booster club to
Wow.
support our program, right? So that was the first caveat. Can we stabilize ourselves financially through the community? So we found them. The second piece was, I was very against the whole a sponsorship for banners kind of situation, right? Which is the typical thing you do. You donate $5,000, we'll put your name here and there, et cetera. So it goes back to what you were just mentioning, Don, just a couple minutes ago, where relationships, right? So relationships is what gets the program going. Relationships is what gets you to college. Relationships is going to help you have a successful tenure in the sense of how connected can you be to the community. So
Right.
what we decided to do was, this is a risk. Let's step away from the sponsorships. I'm not going to promise anyone a banner. I don't want to do the banner stuff. Instead, I want to find businesses and corporations and people that want to give to the kids, right? So instead of you giving $500 for a banner, you're giving $500 for this kid right here. Here's the story. This is what he's going through. This is what he needs. This is the support system he has at home. This is his dreams and goals. And as you sell that to these businesses with the permission of the kids, the waivers are signed, the parents are allowing me to do this, the money just comes in. And you have to, I think an important part to realize too. I tell this story to some coaches, and they're like, "Well, you're so lucky. You're in Metro Atlanta. There's so much money around." That's a true statement. There's a lot of money around here. But when I took over this program in 2021, this program was in debt. It was almost $10,000 in debt. Why is that? If it's so wealthy around here, no program should be in debt whatsoever. But the problem is, because our school is an unincorporated a public institute, we receive no taxpayer funds from any of the local cities. So we're kind of just
Right.
on this desert island, just depending on the county itself and depending on parents to pay their player fees. So once we pitch that idea to the community, right? This is when you started seeing a $10,000 check just being dropped off, $5,000 check, a $6,000 check, a $500 check, a
Wow.
$50 check. Last year, I think we hit close to about 90,000, close to $100,000 for a soccer booster club, high school soccer booster club in the South. And the best thing about it is every cent goes back to the kids. And I will show you receipts. We do not keep the money for the coaches. We do not use the money to expand ourselves. We do use as money as much funds as we can to expand ourselves in the sense of what we know about the coaching world and continue to grow in our education. But every cent goes back to the kid. So I got criticized, right? Because this is kind of new. I got criticized because just th this year, we may have to put up $24,000 to cover all the expenses of the kids for this year. We have the funds. That's the most important thing. Number two is that the community has given us the funds for that specific reason. So the question is, why would you pay off the player fees, right? Because the mentality is every kid has to have skin in the game. Every kid needs to have, money into it. But my approach is, why does money have to be the thing that's the skin in the game? Why not academic achievement? Why not
Right.
attendance success? Why not
Right.
desires and hopes to do something bigger than just high school? So if we, and this is what we're seeing, we're lowering as everyone around us, it's going up to play high school soccer. There's some local schools within our county, our school district, they're charging $1,000 for a 2-month season, right?
Wow.
We have stayed consistently between 300 to 400, and this year every kid has a chance to pay $0. And the community loves them. So when we were thinking, man, this is going to be tough, and everyone else on the outside's looking like, that's so dumb, that's a waste of money. Now that we are committing to paying off student fees, if they're able to match the requirements that we have for them, more businesses want to join. Why? Because it's no longer just we're giving for a banner. It's we're giving for really opportunity to change someone's life, right? The four kids that we took to Wallace State and we took them on a recruiting trip with the JUCO school, that was funded by someone externally, and they gave a donation and said, go take these kids, pay for everything you need to pay for. We know the return of investment is going to be huge. We took them, and what ended up being a $2,000 donation turned into an ROI, which is now worth, between all four scholarships, probably $45,000-$50,000 over a 1-year period. So it's
Unbelievable.
really, yeah, it's the mind shift change, right? And this is something that you can apply even at the collegiate level. I know that if a university were to call me right now and say, hey, we want you to take over this JUCO program or this D2 school, we're struggling financially. We have no one to support us. If you give me enough time, this model can be replicated with any institution whatsoever. You just have to have the long-term vision and the ability to just stay as low and slow for a long period of time and be okay with that, not that fast pace, we're going to be millionaires within a year.
Man, I love it. I love it. And you, Jose, it's so good to get to talk to you, man. I know we've interacted, a little bit on social media and stuff. And like you said, you follow me, but you are infectious, and I can see why your enthusiasm is infecting other people. I when you said you had, what'd you say, seven assistant coaches?
Yeah, seven assistant coaches in high
Crazy.
school.
I mean,
Yes,
most high schools can't get one, let alone two or three, and then seven. That's wild. And I think it's I think it's a lot of it's because of your infectiousness. It's you're excited, you're enthusiastic, and you're doing it for the right reasons. And I think that this is, I do. I think this is a model, and that's why I wanted to have you on. I'm hoping other parents can take this to other high school coaches, can get an idea, but it's work. I mean, that's the other part.
It is.
It's work. It's not just going to happen overnight, and there'll be ups and downs, and there'll be disappointments, and there'll be people turning you down. But I think it's a long-term project that's really worthwhile. I love high school soccer. There's nothing else like it. I opened with that, and
Amazing,
I think that's a good place to end. And I just think that these kids need these opportunities, man. It's club is not the be all end all, no matter what anybody says. The ones that say you have to do club and only club are probably the ones that are making a lot of money off of club and only club.
that's a good point. Yeah, really good point. Yeah.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
I
man, this
really
was a
do.
blast. Yeah.
As you get more success stories over the next year or two, if you don't mind, I'd love to have you back on. And heck, maybe we can even have a couple of the players on to talk about their experience and how it's translated into achieving their dreams, whether it's college or beyond, or whether it's just an amazing high school experience that they'll never forget. That's
Sure.
very much worthwhile too. It's not just about college.
It is not correct. Yeah. No, I love to. I'm sure within the next year or two, we're gonna have a lot of kids coming back and just, excited to be part of this.
Right on. Well, we'll look forward to reconnecting again. Thanks for coming on, Jose. I appreciate
Of
it.
course, man. Appreciate you.
Wow, I hope you enjoyed that, man. Jose Rodriguez from Meadow Creek High School got a lot of good ideas for kids. And for people that are looking to get a hold of Jose, if you look down on the bio of this episode, you can see all the description of this episode. You'll have his bio information and ways to connect with him. That would be great. Now, if you know a player that is looking to play in college but maybe isn't quite ready yet, maybe physically they haven't developed yet, maybe tactically there's some more work that needs to be done. Technically, maybe they don't, they need some more growth there. Or emotionally, mentally, they're just not ready to go to enter college yet. Maybe they've got some roaming around they want to do before they settle down and go to college. That's what a gap year is for. So if you go to gapyearsoccer.com, you can see there some of the programs that we have for kids in Europe, Germany, Spain, England. We've got some different opportunities for kids. All of them are a little bit unique from each other. So the best way to find out which program we think might be best for your player would be to go to gapyearsoccer.com, fill out an application. One of our staff will get in touch with you. I know it helped my son. He took 2 years out to go play in England before he went into college, and it helped his collegiate career, and it made him more comfortable and more successful in college. So GapYearSoccer.com, fill out an application. Let us talk to you. That's GapYearSoccer.com.